Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and once again, you are listening to STEM Spots. With me in the studio today is Damon Bassett. He's a senior instructor in the Department of Geography, Geology, and Planning here at Missouri State University. Thanks for stopping by, Damon.
Thank you, Dave.
So, Damon, you're a paleontologist, but I'm not sure exactly what that means. I think I know, but explain a little bit about what that means.
Well, paleontology is the study of ancient life, where we go out and look for examples of what types of organisms used to be present on the planet Earth and try to understand it a little bit better.
Okay, so you have your own work, the things you did. I think you got your master's at Mizzou. Talk a little bit about what you're interested in and what kinds of things you have done.
Yeah, that's correct. Got my master's at Mizzou, and the work that I did was on what are called microfossils. They're conodonts. They're an ancient form of life that was somewhat like a hagfish, looked a little bit like an eel. And I went to regions like Colorado and Utah and Texas and collected rocks. You dissolve them, find the fossils inside. And then what I did was actually dissolve those fossils, sort of an unusual thing for a paleontologist to do. But we used the chemical makeup of the fossils to try to better understand the climate of the time periods that they lived in.
So essentially, you're using the fossils themselves as a window into the past in some way, shape, or form.
That's correct.
Now, you mentioned fossils, but that to me is a very, I think I know what that means once again. So talk a little bit about fossils in a broad sense. What does it mean when you hear the word fossil?
So fossil has a relatively generic description, but we try to put some caveats on it to make it more specific. But technically, a fossil is any trace or remain of ancient life. And in order to be ancient, we tend to use the 10,000-year boundary, which is the end of the Holocene period on the geologic time scale. So it has to be older than that. And then anything that shows you that life was around could technically be a fossil. It could be a bone, as we tend to picture from all of the dinosaurs that illuminate our imagination, or it could be a trace of chemical shift within carbon isotopes that show a plant was photosynthesizing that we might pull out of the rocks. So it's a really broad field as to what fossils technically are.
The absence of something essentially could be a fossil, right? I mean, footprint, yeah. You mentioned that to me.
Exactly. A footprint could be considered a fossil even though it's just an impression in the sediment. There had to be something there to make the footprint. So it tells us a lot about life. And sometimes that lack of what we think of as a fossil tells us more about an organism than the actual bones and bits and pieces themselves.
As a physicist, I think about this when I have thought about it, and I've always wondered, well, what kind of an interesting process goes on in many of the cases to make something that was living into something that's now a fossil. So do you guys understand that exactly? I mean, if you think of the most persistent idea of a fossil, which would be dinosaur bones, for example, do people really understand how that happens? I think you know what happens, but do you understand how it happens?
Sure. There's an entire field within paleontology that we refer to as taphonomy. It's the study of everything that goes on between the organism when it's alive and the moment it gets collected by a paleontologist or a researcher. And that involves a variety of different processes. So in some cases, with like a mammoth, you just freeze it for a long time, and then you have soft tissue and the last meal it ate, those sorts of things. In other cases, it involves replacement by minerals. In that case, you would need groundwater or some solution that has minerals dissolved in it that can replace molecule by molecule the bone or the, as we were talking about, the scat of an animal and make it into rock, and that would be fossilization. Most of the time that would take on the order of what we would think to be hundreds or thousands of years, so that makes it difficult to study in the lab. But some really small fossils, things like embryos that are found from 500 million years ago, those have been phosphatized, and in order for a single cell or a bundle of cells like an embryo to be replaced, it can't take very long because they would decay over a period of hours to maybe days. So that phosphatization has to be almost instantaneous within the sediment after the embryo has been buried. So typically what we want to do is bury it really quick in whatever environment it's in. It tends to happen more regularly in the marine world. And then remove oxygen, because decay is the bane of the paleontologist. You don't want things to break down or they won't be preserved.
So you're basically saying that people know what happens, but the process step by step, that's not really well known.
True. Yeah, we study what could happen. We let things decay in a controlled environment, try to figure out how that would occur. But much like studying the formation of a star in astronomy, we kind of know the end product and we can work our way back from there.
Well, just like small fossilization, a stem spots goes very quickly. Thanks, Damon, for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thank you again.
And once again, this is Dave Cornelison for Stem Spots, signing off.
Stem Spots is available online at ksmu.org.